for stability in the post-Nevuah era of the Anshes Knesset HaGdola, right, Havu Mesunim Bedin, Hamidu Tamidim Harbei, Asus Yad LaTorah. I mentioned these three completely unrelated issues. To some extent they are. And they're the recipe on the level of you know, the importance of Psak and Aseh Lecha Rav, rabbinic leadership, educational leadership, Hamidu Talmidim Harbei, and the idea of Halakha having policy, you know, not just a narrow view of what you're mechuyev, but, you know, Asu Siyag LaTorah, being Roas HaNolad and being responsible for the past, the present, and the future. These are the three elements that are necessary in order to ensure that Halakha can thrive and flourish even a post-Nevuah era, and no matter what the circumstances. And the truth is, this is so prescient because we really know that this is what has kept Klal Yisrael and Torah Yisrael, you know, vibrant and dynamic despite you know, radical transformations, you know, that have challenged us throughout. Every generation thinks that, you know, it's living in the generation which is the most challenging. Like you hear people speak today, you know, how are we going to overcome the challenges of modernity and, you know, the breakdown in morality and the uptick in relativism, you know, not to mention, of course, you know, the internet. Every generation basically thinks it's living in the most calamitous time and in the times which is least concerned, you know, for Torah. Not just its details, but as a flourishing culture. And Baruch Hashem, you know, we've weathered all these storms, and Yitz Hashem will continue to weather them until, you know, Bias HaMashiach. And the reason for that is because, you know, the Gimel Devarim that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, you know, provided. Hevu Mesunim Badin, Hamidu Talmidim Harbei, Asu Siyag LaTorah. So the first one is the idea of Hevu Mesunim Badin, which relates to the posture and sense of responsibility, and a bit, even in terms of methodology, of the posik. But it begins with his understanding of what his challenge is. And basically, as we know, again, it's late, so I won't go into it, we'll leave most of this for next time, there are really two, again, issues that he needs to navigate. On the one hand, Yiftach Bedoro, you know, Kishmul Bedoro, you know, he lives in this generation, and, you know, he needs to step up, you know, and take responsibility and address the thorny questions of our time. Can't hide in the Beis Medrash, certainly can't hide anywhere else either, and that's can be very challenging. And at the same time, he needs to know, you know, whether he's Yiftach or Shmuel, and in some cases he needs to know that he's not even Yiftach. The sense of humility and knowing, you know, when it's inappropriate for him to step forward. Again, the Gemara in Chagiga, which I mentioned many times, you know, based on the interpretation, the dual psukim, Rabim Chalolim Pila, the Atzumim Kol Harugeha, that one is a reference to, you know, Misha Einaroi, you know, Lahoros Umore, right? Then Chazal say that he's a Rasha and a Gas Shota and a Gas Ruach, based on the Mishnah later on in Avos Perek Dalid. It's interesting that the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rambam not in Pirush Mishnayos, but the Rambam in Perek Chaf, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Vav, quotes Gas Ruach and Shota together with Hevel Mesunim Bedin, as is Rabbeinu Yonah Alatar. That's one part. Vatsumim Kol Harugeha is a much more muted but still strong criticism of Mishi Gia Lahora, the Eino Rotze Lahoros, right? He has maybe too much integrity, seemingly, but since he's the proper address, he has to be the person to step forward. And again, this is the challenge of Parshas Yisro. It's interesting, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Dav Zayin Amud Beis, you know, says, Hevu Mesunim Bedin, is Beis connected to Lo Salo al Malos al Mizbechi, right? And the fact that it's Samuch to the Ela Mishpatim, Asher Tassim Lefnehem. In general, the link between Parshas Yisro, Parshas Mishpatim, is a big motif in the Chazal and in the Mefarshim. The Rashi Alatar says, you know, the significant Hevu Mesunim Bedin is connected to the importance of Din, you know, and how weighty you have to look at that, you know, you're, the Rabbonu Shalom's Elokim Elohim, as I like to say, Elokim, speak about this next year, is a Dayan, Elohim is a Dayan Samuch, right? And it's not a coincidence that, you know, it's spelled the same way as sometimes used, you know, for Shem Hashem, which we pronounce Elokim, right? This idea that there's a special siyata d'shmaya, but there's also a special responsibility, you know, to be a dayan, is a critical aspect. So you need to know your limitations and your humility, and you need to project humility in the process, and that's part of hevu mesunim badin. At the same time, you know, if you are the right person, the most responsible, the most competent person, and even if it's not comfortable for you, then you need to step up. That's the pshat in Harug and Atzumim called Harugeha. The fact that one pasuk bears these seemingly contradictory messages is not a coincidence. These are really two sides of the same coin. And Parshas Yisro, which again precedes Elul Mishpatim, you know, basically addresses this question. Moshe Rabbeinu's ambition, you know, that Lidro Shaso Elokim, you know, would always come through his good offices. And certainly, you know, even if you're asking about Kaddish Tiskabel or Tachanun, you know, or a Minug, there's no question that asking a Moshe Rabbeinu is a special, you know, opportunity, spiritual opportunity. You know, and Moshe Rabbeinu understood this and took every one of those questions as seriously as the Aguna and the Geirus, you know, or you know, major, you know, policy or Hashkafic questions as well, which only could be given to him, the Dvarim HaChashuvim and the Dvarim HaGedolim. So his initial, you know, idealistic stance of standing there, you know, all day and all night, you know, to answer every single nitty gritty, you know, question, you know, reflects a certain important theme. At the same time, Naval Tibol, you know, Yisro was saying two things. Number one, this is just not going to work, but he was also saying it's not healthy, and he was also saying that, you know, for the bigger picture, you need other people to be able to step up. You have to train other people on different levels. You're also, as the Sfarno explains, going to get better psak halacha. You know, if you end up having multiple addresses and levels and, you know, Supreme Courts that you can appeal to along the way before you get to Moshe Rabbeinu, even in the substance of the psak, never mind in building, you know, leaders for the future, you know, the Yisro, you know, stratagem, right, is the better one. But again, you need to balance those things. You know, we live in a world in which people always understand just extremes. You know, some people are machmer and yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro, even if they're not yiftach, and they'll tell you that there's no such thing as dvarim kashim or dvarim gedolim, and anybody, you know, with a smicha in front of his name is equal to every other person with a smicha in front of his name. And that, of course, is absurd. It's ridiculous. It's not true in any other field, you know, where knowledge and insight and instinct and responsibility and stature and integrity are involved. And it's certainly not true, you know, in rabbinic life. Even if you were to assume that everybody who received the title was competent, you know, minimally in some way, but obviously there are, you know, levels. There have to be levels. And in an area which is more complex and more important, the levels aren't even more an issue. So that part of it, you know, is just, you know, kind of laughable. But it's, unfortunately, it's out there, and it's projected all the time. On the other hand, you know, the other extreme, which we also encounter a lot, is that, you know, there's ki'ilu, one mora da'asra of the total Jewish people. In my opinion, not since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was there that. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, basically, again, you know, some of the interpretations of the Yisro story, including the Sfarno that I mentioned and others, is that even Moshe Rabbeinu was being told, you know what, you know, it's even good for you and good for Psak, not just going forward, even for your Psak, it's better that a lot of people be involved. Hierarchically, in an appropriate manner, otherwise it's a disaster. Again, these are not equal problems. They're just like, you know, Rabim Chalolim Mipir Batsumim Kol Harugeh are not equal problems. They're unequal problems. But they're both things that you want to avoid. And, you know, it's critical that the Devarim HaKashim and the Devarim HaGedolim go to Moshe Rabbeinu, or when there's no Moshe Rabbeinu, that they go to the elite group of Chachmei HaMesorah, Shebechol Dor Vadar, you know, who have, you know, both that experience and knowledge and responsibility and insight, you know, not infallible, but, you know, that group. But there has to be still a group. Since Moshe Rabbeinu, there's always been a group. There were people who stood out, maybe as, you know, being more senior or in certain issues, you know, as being the address, rarely. But the idea that there's a single one Bar Da'asra for a Klal Yisrael, you know, since a Moshe Rabbeinu, is not an ideal, you know, kind of a structure. And, you know, the idea that every Davar Katan, you know, even post Yisrael, has to go to that person, you know, whether or not, you know, Beis Yaakov, cancels school because of the ice, or, you know, whether you say Kaddish Tiskabel, you know, in this, you know, circumstance or not, that has to go to the, you know, Gadol Hador, or that group of Gadoli Hador, that's also a position, you know, which is totally inconsistent, you know, with the Yisro theme, and with the idea that even when you have, you know, a Shmuel, it's important to develop Yiftachs, you know, for certain issues, and for certain, for training purposes, for hierarchy purposes, etc. So you need to navigate in Hevum Besunim Bedin between, you know, decisive psak and responsible psak, and having, you know, not only one but a group, and at the same time not overstepping and being, you know, cognizant of the goal of getting the best possible psak that you can get. The input of Moshe Rabbeinu where you need it, and so on. And that's why you have to define carefully what are the Devarim HaGedolim, what are the Devarim HaChashuvim. I think that we mostly understand what they are, even though we might argue about certain cases. In other words, things that are, number one, halachically very complicated, in other words, that require a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom, that's one group. And the other group, of course, is the things that have the greatest ramification, you know, an impact, you know, globally. Again, in the world of Geirus, for example, it's become fashionable in recent years, again, to, you know, there's this argument, you know, Geirus is mostly local, Geirus is mostly global. There are some rabbis who, you know, have made the argument that you can't stand, you know, kind of regularize you know, standards of Geirus, because it's a very local kind of a thing, and it should depend on the local Mar Da'asra. So again, to the extent that a local Mar Da'asra is very critical to Geirus and supervising sincerity and the integration of Geirim into a community, which is a very challenging, you know, kind of an issue, it's clear that local Rabbanim, or the Rabbanim who, you know, who know the prospects and who are involved in that integration, are very critical to the process. But the idea that the standards of Geirus would be something that would be decided locally, as if people, you know, never moved out of a single community, is again kind of absurd. Clearly, you want standards that, you know, whether you have the input of people, you know, more local, you know, but you're talking about certain global, if you're talking about the Geirus, or you're talking about Aguna, you're talking about the ability, you know, to operate across different communities and to be accepted, and not each time to have your credentials, it's a very, very painful and very counterproductive thing, you know, be challenged. And it's not only this generation, but it's future generations. These become, even when the Shilas are not per se complex, requiring of greater knowledge or wisdom, but by virtue of their impact and ramification, they're Dvarim Gedolim and Dvarim Chashuvim in a different way. And that is true with certain policy issues as well. So you need to weigh local psak and global psak, especially in our world where you have the internet and you know, instant communication. The role of the local Mor Da'asra, in my opinion, is still very critical on many levels. And you want to build that up, and you want him to take responsibility and him to be more competent. That's an important layer. of, you know, Sari Alafim and Sari Meos and so on and so forth. And by the way, it has nothing to do with position. It has to do with, you know, personality. I'm talking about what job a person has. And at the same time, you just have to be thinking very carefully and responsibly, you know, about, you know, whether, you know, local psak has the same meaning, l'kula and l'chumra, that it did, you know, 100 years ago. You know, when communication was different and when, you know, patterns of migration were different, etc. So this is part of the challenge of Hevu Mesunim Bedin. Mishnah says later on in Avos that a person shouldn't shy away from Safek. You shouldn't always just be Machmir B'Makom Safek either. Meaning, you shouldn't be lazy in Psak and say, well, I don't know 100%, so I'll just be Machmir. You should be Machmir when you don't know. We have, you know, rules. Sveikad Araisa, Lachumra, and Sveikad Ravana, Lakula. We've been talking about some of their exceptions. You have to be careful and responsible, and you have to, you know, lose some, you know, you have to have some sleepless nights, you know, before you, you know, Kochta Teira Adif means that, you know, when a person, you know, concludes that something should be Lakula, it likely reflects his greater conviction, because otherwise, misafek, he would appropriately be machmir. That's how Rashi explains it in Beitza. That's how it's generally understood. There are a few exceptions. A lot of people don't know that that's what it means, and they think that it means being makel is better than being machmir. You know, it doesn't mean that, mostly. And it certainly doesn't mean that, you know, if you're not sure, that you should be makel rather than be machmir. So it's interesting when Mishnah Avos says that you shouldn't hide behind a safek or you shouldn't avoid a safek. What they mean is basically not that you shouldn't be machmir, you know, if you can't do better than a safek. That's called yor shemayim. That's an appropriate thing. Again, you have to be careful too. You have to know when to be machmir, when it's a yorah, and you know, when it's at the expense of something else. That's a whole Torah on chumras, but not for now. But what the Mishnah I think really really means is that you have to be, you know, on the one hand, have a mesunim badin. You have to be very careful when you're a posek. And you can't, you know, there's no, you know, trigger happy psak. At the same time, like, you don't want to be so intimidated, you know, that you just say, you know what, let's be machmir misafek. Because then you're not engaging the issue. That's irresponsible too. You know, we believe Torah Hashem Tamima, the same Gemara, the Tanra Shalach Noi Gemara. You know, basically says that loba shamayim. You know, and again, it's very often misinterpreted by people, even sincere people. Loba shamayim, he means that the system, right? Not that we don't care about what the Rabbanu Shalom thinks. It means that we can tell what the Rabbanu Shalom thinks because we have a self-sufficient system. Toras Hashem, tamima. That's why the malachim, you know, we're smiling and laughing. You know, and saying Yitzchuni Banai, and the Rabbanu Shalom was saying Yitzchuni Banai, he was saying, oh, you know, good gezakt. Right, Ali? Good gezakt? So they were saying good gezakt because they weren't saying, oh, it's none of your business, Rabbanu Shalom, it belongs to us. They were saying, the Rabbanu Shalom gave us a self-sufficient system, and gave us poskim for the Dvarim Chashuvim and the Dvarim Gedolim, and we adopted Yisro's system. We have a mechanism, right, to deal with difficulty. Not perfect, not infallible. Sometimes it'll take some generations, you know, to solve a certain problem or to feel comfortable with it. But we have a mechanism. So Toras Hashem, Tamima, makes Loba Shamayim he, you know, not problematic, but something to say, or about which to say, Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai. The Kvodi, right, they're Toveya. Not against me. And essentially, you know, that's what the idea of not hiding behind a safek is all about. It's an affirmation of our appreciation of what the Rabbanu Shalom gave us, and the, you know, methodological self-sufficiency of what he gave us, which is what we treasure. Toras Hashem Tamima. If you always have to say safek l'chumra, you know, to play it safe without even engaging the issue and mustering conviction, then it's not Toras Hashem Tamima. Then you have essentially Lo B'Shamayim Hi, but without the, you know, Nitzchuni Banai. And then you're in trouble. Then you're dealing with a fossilized system. Again, you know, Maisim Shebechol Yom, in our learning, whether it's the Ramban and Taurus Adam or the Rambam or Rabbeinu Tam or the Ravid, or I'm just taking the most ones, but you know, or Abaya and Rava, you know, we Kachme Amesora every single day in our learning discussions are making decisive psakim, but careful psakim, both in the base medrash and in psak. Sometimes the kula, sometimes the chumra, sometimes they're machmir misafek. None of that is a stira. There's no simple or single. No one's always machria. No one's always mekel. No one's always machmir. It's done out of the sense of havu mesunim badim, with a sense that there is confidence in the system. Don't hide behind the safek, which displays lack of confidence. But at the same time, this sense of achrayus and havu mesunim badim, and that's what the mefarshim really point out. I mentioned last week that. You know, on the one hand, we say the shinanta levanecha sheid vaytor mechudalim bepicha shemishalcha al tegamgem v'tomar ela emar lo miyad etc. On the other, we say havum asunim bedin, which means slow down, think about it, think about it again. Obviously, there's no stira. The shinanta levanecha refers to Talmud Torah and Limudat Torah and the goal of mastery and the ability to be decisive. And even the ability to be quick, in the sense that it reflects that you're not lazy and that you're really controlled. You have shlita, I'll call it Torah, tkula, that you have strong convictions, that you have this sense of confidence, and you know, that you're decisive in your understanding of things. That's all critical, begavra. And it's certainly critical, you know, to convey in the process of education, and in limudat Torah, lilmod and melamed, in both aspects of it. At the same time, when it comes to an actual psak din, there's hevum asunim bedin. You have to have a little bit of extra yira. That extra yira comes from being a representative of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, right? Understanding that while there's extra siyata d'shmaya in dayanus, as the Netziv points out, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is, you know. Found in the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, but even more so in Din Emes Lamito of a Psak Din, Vayigva Hashem Tzivakos Bamishpat, and that requires, alongside the confidence and the hard work, that there be a sense of reticence and humility as well. And that's really what the Mefarshim here point out. I mentioned the Rambam speaks about being Gas and being a shoten a gas ruach, same Rambam, Perek Chaf Halacha, when he talks about the sunim bedin. Interesting, he also talks about the humility that is required, even when you are a competent posek, to give way to somebody more competent than you in a particular issue. Perek Chaf Halacha Vaben Zayin. I'm going to finish up in one more minute. Lotasu Aval B'mishpat, I'm sorry, Halacha Zayin and Ches. Hagos libo b'hora'a, the kofetz v'chote chadin kodim shiach kerehu, beino levein atzmo, ad shia barur lo kashemesh, areza shote v'rasha v'gas ruach. Kach tziv chachamim, hevu mesunim badim. V'chein Iyov omer, right, b'riv lo yadati ech kerehu. Then halacha kes, kol dayim sheba lefan av din v'hitchi l'damoso l'din pasuk, shefar yada amito, v'yeshiro b'medina gadol mimenu b'chachma, ve'ino holech v'nimlach bo, Areza bichlal harishayim shalibam gas bahara. Ramachachamim ra'a al ra'a tavolo, shakol elo adorim kiyotzim bigasas haruach hamibili day ibus hadim. Then he follows up, ki rabim chalalim ipila, that sugya, ze talmud shaloi gila ro mora, vatsumim kol harugeha, ze shi gila harav in a mora, vihu shiye hador tsarichlo, avalim yada shiye sham roi lahara, mana atzma mina ra, areza mishubach. B'chol ha'moneh atzmo min adin, moneh atzmo eva, gezel, shvua shav, v'gas libo b'ora, shote, rosha, v'gas ruach. And that's really the two Mishnayos in Avos, in Perek Dalid, where the Mishnah basically develops this idea. Perek Dalid, Mishnah Zayin, gas libo b'ora, shote, rosha, v'gas ruach. The Rambam's connecting them. And then Dalid Ches, the Rambam, the Mishnah says, alti dan din yechidi, She'ein don yechidi ela echad, meaning the Rabbanu Shalom. So it's interesting that the If you look at the various Mefarshim, so again, maybe we'll just finish with this, and then we'll speak about the Mefarshim Alatar next time. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, as I mentioned, that the Mokar for Hevu Mesunim Bedin is Lo Salu Lemalos Al Mizbechi. So Rashi says it means, you shouldn't go too quickly. I guess when you don't go on a ramp, but you climb up the steps, so you move very very quickly. And the Marsha says it's not only that; it's also kind of the idea, that you are. He doesn't say it this way, but I think this is what he's getting at. You're taking shortcuts, or you're taking leaps. In other words, you're being medame dava ledavar, too quickly. You're using your instinct or your intuition, without you're using your analysis fully. The idea of Havu Mesunim Bedin, according to different Mefarshim, is a combination of analysis and experience and instinct. And that's really why being a Dayan isn't just informational, it's also informational, also instinctive, and also experiential. And the idea of Bemalos is that you've leaped too quickly, you've gone up, without going straight, or at least in your preparation. But when you go on a ramp, right, you don't skip any steps. When you go on steps, you're skipping. You're not skipping the steps, I guess, but you're skipping space. And sometimes it's necessary to go up steps, but when it comes to Psak Halacha, it's important to go on a ramp. And that means that you have to check, you have to know the sugya, you have to know the Rishonim, you have to spend some time to get an instinct about, what the direction is in the sugya. Again, the Rav in Ish Halacha, speaks about the idea of Natsuke Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. So given his orientation, this is not going to be surprising. So he says it doesn't only mean that if you're a posek, so when you're learning the sugya, or when you're learning the sugya, it doesn't only mean, and it doesn't necessarily also mean, this part he doesn't say, that when you're learning the sugya that you have to look up, the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah and whoever else, the Igros Moshe and so on and so forth. What it really means, he says, what, there's no Lasuke Shvaitz Alib and Hilchasa in Kachim and Taros and Zraim? There is. What it really means is, to learn the sugya al Burio, to really, understand it, and tells it to develop. I'm adding this a little bit, a sense of where the sugya is going, what the mainstream view is about that sugya. And I think the point is that, again, he's commenting to expand it, to say, there's Lasuke Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa doesn't mean a functional perspective on Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah Lashma, that's really where he's coming from. But I think there's also two other elements, and that is Talmud Torah Lishma, even though it's theoretical, doesn't exempt you from walking away with the sugya and trying to understand, what the primary, thrust is. Again, for example, in our culture, right, if the Ramban says it or the Rambam says it, even if it's just yachid, we want to know what it is, and we want to know what it means, and it matters, and the whole range matters. But even if the range matters, you still want Aliba Hilchasa to know, what's the mainstream view. That's important hashkafically, it's important, in terms of your building your own value perspective in Torah and Halacha as well. And I think it also means that for Psak, itself, you have to, learn, Vasuke Shmaitz Aliba Hilchasa. I mean, you can't skip the step of the sugya and the impression that it makes in the mainstream view based on the Rishonim. You can't just be an expert in Shulchan Aruch. That too is malos. That's too skipping steps. There's a whole literature on this as well. Already in the Gonim is a Tshuva of the Rimigash, and then much later the Maral and the Maral's brother. And there's a whole literature about codification and how it's a necessary evil, because it takes you away from the sugya and the Lasuke Shmaitz Aliba Hilchasa. That takes place on that level. On the other hand, it facilitates, Lasuke Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa in a much more pragmatic way. So, in a sense, we live with codes, whether it's the Rambam or the Torah or the Shulchan Aruch or the updating of codes. The Mishnah Berurah became an update. We'll speak about that a little bit. you know, now they have other updates. So codes are important, but a code, you know, can sometimes be antithetical to Hevel Mesunim Badin, ironically. Hevel Mesunim Badin in Mefarsha means if you know a precedent, even if you've been involved in a precedent, don't just reflexively apply the precedent. Look again at the particular case in front of you, you know, to see whether it might not be different, or think it through again. It means understand the gravity of being a posek, you know, in terms of that position and what it means, and don't just be satisfied on the level of other satisfaction that you would have, you know, that you're being right. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's idea. The idea of ones or shogeg in psak, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is wrong. Anybody who's a shogeg in psak is a karov lemezin or a karov leposhea. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's idea. Because you start off with a greater responsibility, you know, to begin with. So whether it's how you deal with precedent, or even your own experience, or you know, the level that of satisfaction in terms of being you know, achieving certitude or confidence, you know, these are all built in to have a Mesunim Bedin, but not so that you should be paralyzed, but so that your, you know, decisiveness in Psak, you know, should be something, you know, that also bears, you know, the proper level of responsibility and humility. So I want to speak about some of the Mefarshim's interpretation of this next time, and then we'll move on to the next one, Hamidu Talmidei Parak.